there was the blood. Come on, Saint Church, glory.
Glory to His name.
What a wonderful name.
Amen.
I'm singing glory.
Glory to His name.
Hallelujah. I'm singing glory. His name. For there was the blood. Come on, church, let's worship Him this morning. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Oh, I'm singing glory. Y'all have to forgive me. My. Glory to His name.
Glory
to His name. Oh,
there to
my.
Woo.
Glory to His name.
Glory to His name.
Verse that says this. Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Y'all have to forgive me. Down for a cleansing. Come on, you know it. There
was the blood.
And I'm singing glory.
Glory to His name.
Come on, one more time. Glory to His name. I'm singing glory. My.
His name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to His name.
Glory to His name.
Oh, there.
To my heart.
My.
Was the blood.
Glory to.
Glory to His name.
Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time, God. We thank You for a powerful name, a name that cleanses, a name that heals, a name that restores, a name that sets free, a name that raises life from the dead. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank You, God, for this time, God, to worship You. And we do sing glory to Your name today, this morning.
Yes.
For Your blood, God. We talked about it for the past few weeks, God. But because of Your blood that was shed on the cross, God. And because of Your death and Your resurrection, now You are risen, God.
Yes.
We have life everlasting.
Yes.
And we thank You for Your blood, Lord, that cleanses our soul. That cleanses our mind, God. We thank You, God.
Yes.
We thank You, Lord. Father, bless this time, God,
yes,
as we break the bread of life, Lord, once again, so that we can see something more of You, so that we can be used, God, for Your glory,
yes,
to show this dark world that there is power,
yes,
in the blood.
Amen.
Wonder-working power.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Let every child of God say amen.
Amen.
Come on, give God some praise this morning if you love the Lord. Come on, you got to love the Lord this morning. Give praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. Dismiss our kids at this time. One of you kids, we're blessed to have them this morning. Blessed to have all of them. Hallelujah. Glory to His name.
Listen.
Look at your neighbor. Y'all was waiting on that.
Neighbor.
And say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Are you awake?
Are you awake?
All right. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. Thank you for you joining live on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for watching this morning. Hope this blesses you. Amen.
Bless.
Folks, this morning we're going to commence reading two pieces of scripture. But the main part is going to come from Psalms 42. Psalms 42, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 42, verses 1 through 3, and they'll have it on the screen displayed for you. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, but here's the King James Version. It just changes out the whatsoever's to what, the thou's to you, okay?
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalms 42 says this, first three verses says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God.
Amen.
Verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
Amen.
Verse 3 says, my tears, somebody say my tears.
My tears.
Uh-huh. My tears, yes, have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Look at someone sitting next to you and say, where is your God?
Y'all not
my, y'all may not be used to this kind of preaching, but I do like to talk back. Amen. I love hearing y'all speak. Amen. Look at someone sitting next to you and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
The title of the message is,
But God
stepped in. You didn't like that, neighbor. Look at somebody else. You didn't like them. You didn't like that, neighbor. Look at somebody else. Look someone down your road. Say, neighbor.
But God
stepped in. Amen. Come on, give God some praise if you're excited for that word this morning. Amen. Amen. Today, celebrating 25 years of life and close to 11 and a half years of ministry,
Amen.
I still have the program that I first spoke on my birthday 11 years, close to 12 years ago.
Amen.
This is at another church, and I still have the program. You don't want to look at the picture of me on the inside. I just don't look good. Amen. But this was the original one, and I told Pastor Mark this morning, every message that God gives me, I have written. Now, the first year of preaching, I did not write anything. I just came from the book. But I have some advice from Pastor Mark and others saying that it's good to jot some things down just for you to be in tune with what God is speaking to you. So I wrote some things down. I still have messages dating all the way back to 2014,
Amen.
Handwritten, and I keep those.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I look back on it, and I'm like, man, look at that terrible handwriting. But I've seen how God has worked through those messages at those times and what I've been going through in those times with those messages just to help somebody else.
Yeah,
but I've slowly begun to realize this phrase, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Y'all going to preach? Y'all going to help me preach this morning? All right. Just see if y'all awake this morning. Because this is not a dead church, for God is alive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. See where you're at. Because I'm going to preach anyhow, okay? Amen. All right. I was thinking about writing a memoir for my life called The First 24 Years. The first half of my life was filled with joy and happiness. I've experienced some pain and confusion from others as a child. After I was called by God to preach in 2012, I began to experience life at a youthful age and a distinct mindset, Sister Christy, and yet I was coming up in a time where the excitement for serving God was on a spiritual high, but still had to go through many things.
Right.
I was faced with challenges, problematic decisions, and yes, even experienced times I felt like I'm too far away from God, has called me to do what he wants me to do for him, but God stepped in. And reminded me that if it had not been for him, all these past years of living this way, the way I thought I should be living, the way I thought I was looking good, had a good image, but it was something like I wasn't. Am I talking about myself this morning? All these choices I thought were right, but they did not benefit me in the long run. Am I the only one here this morning? This is why now I can look back over my life and say, if it had not been for the Lord who is on my side, where would I be? Anybody here glad and grateful this morning of a God who was there for you? Let me talk to someone over here. Y'all not excited over here. Is anybody glad over here that God was there for you? When no one was on your side, God was there. God stepped in. A God who came and rescued you out of your trouble, out of your mistakes. A God who came and stepped in right on time. Somebody say, but God stepped in. Uh-huh. My brothers and sisters, Psalms 42 is an honest prayer passage from discouraged saints who are yearning for God during their distress. This passage is called the Lament Psalm. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew translation of the word lament is Safad, and the Greek translation of the word is Trinaro, which means to cry out due to sorrow, being in contrition, the showing of pain in one's heart that needs remorse or seeking repentance. However, lament also demonstrates of one's putting in trust in God. Psalms 42 corresponds to the scripture found in the 16th chapter in the book of Numbers, and we will have that up there for you. The sons of Korah were Levites from the Kohath family, who were later by King David's time were serving in the musical aspect of worship in the temple. These men were ones that transcribed the words in Psalms 42. That correlates with the scripture. Looking for forgiveness and regain God's favor upon them when they once had under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. So these sons of Korah, their father, and those leaders at the time were under the leadership of Moses and Aaron back in Numbers chapter 16. The sons formerly were able to freely worship during this time with the Lord's people. However, something has changed. Somebody say something has changed. Something's changed. Now they find themselves removed from the religious life that they formerly had, that they formerly enjoyed, and they miss that former life. To fully understand the cause of the sons of Korah writing in Psalms 42, the correlated scripture comes from, again, Numbers chapter 16. The men who preceded the sons of Korah rebelled against God in Numbers chapter 16. And the following of Moses and Aaron in the wilderness in Numbers 16, which says in verse 1 through 3, let's read that. Verse 1 says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. Verse 2 says, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. These are the leaders of the church. They were head of the worship, 250 of them along with those men. Famous in the congregation, men of renown. Verse 3 says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, You take too much upon you, meaning, why are you so high and mighty? You're just doing this for show. Right. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord, meaning they just got jealous. Right. They just want something for themselves. And thus, Korah and his companions and those 250 leaders who served the tabernacle went against God, right? Korah lured Dathan and Abiram and 250 leaders into thinking that Moses and Aaron and even God were foolish to make the Israelites over the worship in the temple and not choose his own family, to whom was part of the Levites. So God told Moses, if you keep on reading there, God told Moses to speak to the congregation, saying, this is what Moses told to the people. He said, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. After Moses spoke unto the congregation, in verses 31 through 32 of Numbers chapter 16 says that the ground split apart. Mm-hmm. Imagine the ground being split. Imagine tents being right here. You see these three men, their family. All of a sudden, they're gone. Right. Ground was split apart. The earth opened and swallowed up all those who were associated with the foolish people, with Korah, Dathan. I'm going somewhere. And Abiram, along with their household, and those three men themselves. Then the 250 leaders who served the tabernacle yet followed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they were consumed by fire. So these 250 men who were worshiping God, giving incense to God, were destroyed by fire.
Come on, buddy. That's right.
Because of their rebellious nature.
Right.
I'm getting to the points. Here we go. The main reason, I'm going to be out your way, I know. The main reason that the sons of Korah wrote this passage because they had to suffer the consequences of what their father had chosen, right? They and the leaders at the time decided to go against God and with the direction under Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16, Brother Ron. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all those 250 leaders, because of wicked and foolish, they became wicked and foolish in their mindset, and that God had enough of their nonsense. God just had enough. If you read the Old Testament, God don't play around. He does not play around. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for his son. So when we mess up, Jesus says, wait a minute. I died for them. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is what? You said it right. You said it right. So all those 250 leaders became wicked and foolish, and that God had enough of their nonsense, and he literally put them into the ground. After one of those, if only y'all, one of those 250 servant leaders could have thought about, well, this was the wrong thing. Noel, this is bad. I don't think we should have done this. I think we should have just did what we were supposed to do. Of the leaders of the tabernacle had only realized what was going on.
Right.
Most, if not all of them, would not have been perished if one of them just realized. Right. One didn't just had some common sense.
Yeah.
The first thing, somebody say number one.
Number one.
The first thing God showed me here is this. In order for God to bless you, you must separate yourself from the wicked.
That's right. Come on, preacher.
My. How many times, people of God, have we surrounded ourselves knowing good and well we should not have been with those type of people who are wicked and confused?
Right.
Children of God, you cannot lay down with dogs. Because you what? That's right, and they're itching. They're itching when you get them. I'm glad to let you know this morning that even if you are with the wicked, God can still step in and protect you from harm and danger. Y'all not going to help me out this morning. That's fine. God wants you, Brother Joe, to be protected. But you can't be fooling around with people knowing that they ain't got no lick of sense. They don't know what's going on. You can't walk with God and shake hands with the devil at the same time. You get what I'm saying this morning? You got one foot in the grave and another foot on the banana peel. You got to be careful who you're surrounding yourself with. These three men who were leaders of the church, and 250 of them, did not even know what was going on. They decided we're going to do our own thing. We're just going to have some jealousy up in here because we want to do what was right in our heart. Knowing they had two of the most powerful leaders at that time.
Yeah.
Moses and Aaron just brought these people out of Egypt. And now here they come acting like a fool. I said it. Acting like a fool.
Yeah.
Imagine being trapped in slave for a long time, being bounded. Imagine that. For a long time.
Yeah.
And then you, all of a sudden you've been set free, but all of a sudden you was like, let's go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. Ain't that us today?
It is.
I'm just talking to Damien, I guess.
Yeah.
That's us today. God has set us free from something, but yet we want to go back and do the same old thing.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible says, who the Son has set free, he is what?
Free.
You're talking right. Don't have, these people don't have a healthy lifestyle. They're not grounded in the Word of God. They cause confusion and delay. They have a negative attitude.
Right.
They are unholy.
Right.
They ride the fence.
Right.
They live life on the edge.
Right.
They don't have a steady mind.
Right.
They don't have hope in anything.
Right.
These people who are confused and wicked, they always look at other people's struggles.
Right.
They are filthy on the inside and out.
Right.
They always like to stir up trouble.
Yeah.
They always like to be in other people's business.
Yeah.
Don't it sound like some church folk?
Yeah.
My God. It's like some people who come to church today.
Right.
I'm not talking about Gethsemane, but there's some out there. There's some out there, Pastor Mark, who just act like this.
Yeah.
They just want to cause some disturbance in the house of God to gain satisfaction from the dissatisfaction of what they have.
Right.
You don't believe me? I'm about to tell you. These type of folk, they just complain all the time.
Yeah.
Well, if it's too cold in the church, they complain about it.
Yeah.
If it's too hot in the sanctuary, they cause an issue. If the lights are too bright, they cause an issue. The lights are too dark, I can't see the words on the screen, they cause an issue. If the music's too loud, I got my hearing aids on, they cause an issue. The music's too soft, turn your hearing aids up, they still cause an issue. Can I keep going? I'm about to, Brother Jared. If the praise team sings a song that you don't want to sing, they cause an issue. If the praise team sings a song that they don't sing, you cause an issue. If the pastor don't lay hands on you, here we go. If the pastor don't lay hands on you during prayer, you cause an issue. You go calling pastor, I appreciate you, but you didn't lay your hands on me for praying. You didn't do it. You didn't do it.
Sure, you're right.
You didn't do it.
Yeah.
Then why you come to the altar anyway?
Yeah.
Seek God, not the pastor. They cause an issue.
Yeah.
If the pastor don't text them back in a timely manner, they cause an issue.
Yeah.
If the pastor don't speak to them when they leave, knowing they got 10,000 other people in the church,
yeah,
they cause an issue.
Yeah.
If you only receive $200 from the finance committee, not $2,000, they cause an issue.
Yeah.
Church, it's time to get away from those wicked, foolish, idolatry people. And realize that the devil, catch this, the devil only deals with subtracting and dividing.
Amen.
But the God that I serve this morning deals with addition and multiplying. Y'all did not catch that.
Come on.
Woo.
Come on, brother.
The God that I serve adds on. He does not take away.
That's right.